from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. It's Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt on DFW Sports Station and your home of the drama, as always, surrounding your football team, where yesterday Dak Prescott not only said, yeah, stop listening to Jerry Jones a long time ago, he also gave, I thought, some honest thoughts when he went back and forth with Clarence Hill over his contract not getting done before the regular season starts.
No, I mean, that's up to Todd and those guys. Once again, I'm not going to be a part of them here as the season starts. And they've been going. They've been going, obviously, heavily through Todd and Steven both. It's just all part of it. As I said, my job and my focus now is control what I can. And as I said, well, back in camp, it's two parts of this. Both sides have to come to the agreement.
You don't need a deal done before the season?
I don't need a – no, no.
Would you like it done before the season?
I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. But however, doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you.
What does it say if it isn't?
Just how people feel.
Mike Florio, what did you make of that and everything else said yesterday and that has been happening around here?
Look, I love it. I always love a good story, and Jerry Jones loves it when we're talking about the Cowboys. That's been clear for years now. Guys, I think that this is a very simple situation. Dak Prescott has the kind of leverage over the Cowboys that Jerry Jones made his billions exerting over others. So why would we expect Dak, who's got his foot on the organization's throat right now, to move it? Jerry would never move it. Jerry wouldn't give anybody a break. He has them. They cannot use the one thing that helps keep the market in check at every position, the franchise tag. He's going to become a free agent next year, and the only way he's not going to get more from somebody else than what the Cowboys are offering is if the owners collude and if they deliberately choose not to pursue Dak Prescott so the Cowboys can keep him. And maybe that's why Jerry is so nonchalant about all of it. Maybe he knows, or maybe he thinks no one else is going to outbid him because they've got a gentleman's agreement not to do it. I don't know that that's the case, but I know there's currently a collusion grievance pending over basically what happened with Lamar Jackson when he was available with 2 first-round picks as compensation, and nobody even brought him in for a visit. So I think Dak is rightfully confident that he's getting paid some way, somehow, and he's already made a lot of money, and he's just going to play football, and everything will work out. It's the right mindset. He's holding all the cards. He can sit there content while he waits for the hand to be played out.
Do you think he's holding this up more than the front office?
Well, no, I think he wants what he wants, and they're cheap. The one thing about Jerry Jones that has become abundantly clear, he is cheap and he's short-sighted. He could have gotten CeeDee Lamb for less than he paid. He could have done this before training camp opened, and he wouldn't have had a guy who's trying to race to catch up to be in the proper condition and preparation for week one. Jerry, and I love him, he's great for the game. He's one of the all-time most significant figures in the National Football League. But he is cheap. He doesn't like to write those checks. And it's an amazing character flaw for a guy who's got money to burn that he refuses. He's kicking and screaming to the checkbook when it's time to pay someone. I mean, hell, that's the reason why Mike McCarthy's the head coach right now. He's too cheap to pay him not to be the coach this year. He doesn't want to buy anybody out. He doesn't want to pay any money before he absolutely has to, and it ended up costing him more with CeeDee Lamb, and it's going to cost him more to keep Dak Prescott, and it's eventually going to cost him more to keep Micah Parsons.
It cost him Dak Prescott? Not just cost him more, does it end up costing him Dak Prescott?
Well, possibly. Possibly. There's no way he can keep Dak Prescott from going to another team. Dak Prescott has the potential to be the most significant free agent since Reggie White in 1993. And the only reason Reggie White was a free agent was because he was one of the named plaintiffs in the lawsuit that ultimately blew up the NFL's system and created free agency, salary cap, and franchise tag. He was exempted from the franchise tag, so he was able to go. I think Dak will be, and it will be the dominant story. And see, that's the thing. Even if Dak leaves, Dak is the dominant story. We're talking about the Cowboys. That's what Jerry wants. Talk about the Cowboys. His testimony from that Sunday Ticket trial earlier this year, it was abundantly clear. He just wants people to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And the more that people talk about the Cowboys, the more money they make, the more money he makes, the more the profile that they have, and we've seen them have. It's amazing that they're still quote-unquote America's team when they haven't been to an NFC championship since 1995. And that's all because Jerry knows how to sell that team. He will milk everything he can out of this storyline about what Dak's going to do next.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, joins us here 105 through the Fan. Okay, so are we blurring the lines, or is the fine line between cheap and wanting to win the negotiation versus wanting to stay relevant and just say, hey, look, I'll pay it eventually, but I want y'all talking about me all the time versus standing on principle and saying I'm not letting the players dictate when they get signed? I mean, is that all kind of muddled into the cheapness?
Well, I think it is. Wanting to win a negotiation is just a fancy way of saying cheap, right? You want every negotiation to be win-win. You want your players to be partners. You want them to feel like they're treated fairly. And the best negotiations are the ones that leave everyone a little pissed off, because that means each side gave more than they wanted to give. But when you're obsessed with winning the negotiation to the point where you want to crush the other side and you want them to ultimately do a deal that is a bad deal, that's when it becomes a problem. And look, Peyton Manning's attitude when he was playing was, it's my job to play football and get paid as much as I can for it. It's your job to manage the salary cap. So, you know, and this is where players get a raw deal, because the fans line up behind the laundry. They support club oligarch. The players selfish. Oh, we've got to have more money available for the other players under the cap. The teams can figure that out. And the one great equalizer, this was something that came up during the Sunday Ticket case. They claim that revenue sharing in the salary cap is the great equalizer that ensures that all teams can be competitive. The one thing that ensures it more than anything else is the draft, because every year you've got 7 base picks of guys who are paid peanuts in comparison to veterans. That's how you equalize the talent in the NFL, and you give everybody a fair shot. So your best players got to get paid, and it's up to them to get paid. And if you don't want to pay them, you run the risk of them walking away. And that is very well what Dak might do when March rolls around.
You got your hands on the terms of Lamb's contract. Was there anything in that that made you go, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I understand why the Cowboys dragged their feet or waited so long with this?
No, it's basically the Justin Jefferson structure, just less money. And I think it was Clarence that reported a few weeks back that the Cowboys were at $33 million per year in new money average, and CD was at $35. And they eventually split the difference. The thing that irritates me about this and should frustrate every Cowboy fan, this could have been done before week one. Look what the Vikings did. Justin Jefferson's deal was done in June, right before mandatory minicamp. So he was there for the mandatory minicamp. He was there for training camp. It's all when you set the clock to strike 12, because it's a deadline-driven business. You don't move to your bottom-line position early, because if you do, you get squeezed off of it at midnight. They failed in not setting midnight for the start of training camp, because now you got a player who feels like he's got to rush to catch up. You know, that's how you pull a hamstring. That's how you try to do too much. You make a mistake because you're hyper-aware of the fact that you got to go earn this money and you missed all of training camp. It's clear he didn't want to miss it. He wanted to be there. His agents had to keep him from just showing up. They should have set the deadline to get this done before training camp, because after the Jefferson deal was done, the number's the number. It's just a question of when you're going to write the check.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Mike, circling back to the Dak topic and paying him what he's due and whatever else it is, there's been an argument from a lot of people that says, get out in front of it, pay him as soon as you can. I think that's how a lot of us feel. the Cowboys, I think, internally would say the market is always resetting. The market's always being topped. So it doesn't totally matter when you get it done. Operate without that as much as you want because it's always going to reset and they're going to fall in the next 2 years anyway. Is there any logic to that for you? Like, do you look at that and say there's an argument to be made that waiting is fine because it's always going to keep going up anyway?
Here's the only context where that makes sense. If you've got a guy operating under a rookie contract and you can get one more year out of him for peanuts like they did for Dak in the fourth year of his rookie contract when they paid him, I think it was somewhere between $2 and $4 million for 1 year. Micah this year, Micah should have held out. Micah's playing football this year at one of the higher risk positions for $3 million. Are you kidding me? So yeah, it's going to cost Jerry more later than what it would cost now to sign Micah, but he's getting him for $3 million this year. That's why Jamar Chase has taken a stand in Cincinnati. I'm not playing for $4.8 million this year. I want my contract now. And Mike Brown, even though he knows it'll cost more later, he's getting him for a cheap fourth year. So that's where waiting benefits you because you're getting the guy cheap. But once you're already into the bigger money, you are just putting yourself in a position where you're going to spend more money later. The sooner you get the deal done, the better off you are. And the best example of that is what happened with the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. They dragged their feet all through the offseason. They could have had it for 27 in March. Then the market changes. They could have had it for 28. The market changes. They drag their feet. They end up paying him 30 over the course of the four-year extension. It cost them $12 million because they waited too long to do the deal.
Mike, are we – Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. We're going to get to the new book that is out, Football Night in America, NBC. Are we reaching a point in the National Football League where players are winning – like NBA players?
Not quite, but it's different. And, you know, because you
sounds like a column for you. That sounds like a good column for you to write a tribute to me.
Well, I mean, no, but it's been moving in that direction. Now, look, every year when NBA players sign their contracts in July, we get that little ripple of, hey, NFL players should have fully guaranteed contracts. And, hey, look at all this money that some guy that most people have never heard of is making. You know, that happens with the NBA players every year. I think the players are getting more power. It's the Mike Tomlin mindset. We want volunteers, not hostages. When you have a player who truly doesn't want to be there, and this example came up yesterday when we were talking about Brandon Ayuk, the Terrell Owens mess in Philadelphia from 2005, that ended up looking a lot worse for Terrell Owens than maybe it should have, because back in those days, we were more inclined to see it from the team's perspective. But Terrell Owens had a spectacular year in 2004, grossly overperformed his contract, played with a broken freaking ankle in the Super Bowl, and all he wanted was a little more security from the Eagles. And their attitude was, you've signed a contract. No, you've signed a contract. Your name's on this contract. You honor your contract. And he created a reign of terror, and they eventually threw their hands up in the air and moved on from him. I think teams are more sensitive to that now, and that's good. And I think the players are willing to exercise that power when they can. But still, at the end of the day, it's all stacked against the players. Those contracts we hear about, the team can rip them up anytime they want, and the players are stuck. This is not a level playing field, but it's less skewed than it used to be.
How many times did you chuckle or laugh out loud in reading what Jerry told Clarence about no effing GM could come in here and do it the way I can?
I thought it was great. I mean, I think he's wrong because there have been plenty
you
of other
think?
GMs that have actually, you know, been to conference championship games in the last 30 years. And I don't know if it's just as simple as he's too cheap to buy and pay for a GM, whether he just truly loves doing it. I don't understand it. I admire the fact, though, that he puts his name on it, because I guarantee you the vast majority of the owners are secretly meddling. And they hide behind their general managers, and they tell them what to do. And when it blows up, the GM gets fired.
Mike, tell us about
the head coach top dollar. That's for sure.
Tell us about the new book.
Son of Mine, the sequel to Father of Mine, mob novel set in the early 1970s. It picks up exactly where Father of Mine left off. It's getting great reviews, and it is available Tuesday. The ebook is $4.99. Print edition, $14.99. The first one was good. This one is even better. Usually the sequel sucks. I made sure I held back on the first one so the sequel would be better. The sequel is better, and you can read it as a standalone. You don't need to read the first one, although it kind of spoils the ending of the first one. If, you know, if you start with the sequel, you kind of know what happened in the first one, especially like right on the first page. But I would suggest reading Father of Mine this weekend when you're not watching football, and then pick up Son of Mine on Tuesday. $4.99. You can't buy a damn thing for $4.99, and you definitely can't buy an ebook for $4.99 except this one. And a print book for $14.99 is a pretty damn good deal. They're usually $30. So they're priced to sell, they're priced to read, and I guarantee you will enjoy it. I'd do a money-back guarantee if Amazon would let me do it, but they won't.
Sean, Chris on Twitter wrote the review, a compelling read with enough action and suspense that I completed it in a day. So that's the great review from Chris on Twitter that Mike shared yesterday.
Mike, you and I are both Italian. What do you say when a guy gets arrested?
What do you mean, what do I say?
Like, how do you describe it? What's the word you use?
he gets what?
Was it pinched?
There you go. That's right, Mike. That's right.
There's the credibility for the book right there.
That's right.
And why you should get it with Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. You were on fire that segment. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Woo! Mike Florio, D&M Leasing
Face
Hotline. I don't think Jerry Jones, if he was listening to that, would be very happy. Which player were you thinking about more for the Cowboys last night? Was it the quarterback or the wide receiver with college football? Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third down, Shadur, RPO, throws this one right side, comeback, leaping grab, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Who is that masked man? Travis Hunter makes the grab, and the 100th career touchdown of Shadur Sanders. And those two, they have ESP, those two, the way they connect.
You love this guy.
I want this guy to be national. Is this not a national voice in delivery? This is just a Colorado play-by-play guy? He's tremendous. Play the first call. Play the first call. That should get this guy a national job.
Shotgun snap taken by Shadur. Throws it right side. Travis Hunter reaches up. Makes a spectacular grab. Touchdown. Touchdown, Colorado. He's an alien. He's a freak. He's a mutant. He's the best player in college football. And the Buffaloes take a 10-point lead, 30-20.
I'm getting Deckerhoff vibes here.
Yeah, there's some Deckerhoff to him. There's absolutely
fire the cannons.
Fire the cannons. There's definitely... This guy could absolutely do like voiceover work, anime. That's big anime vibes.
That's
right
an
there.
Anime voice.
They'll do like the villain. They'll do that kind of stuff. But that's good. He better get it out now.
It's not going to be very good the rest of it. Maybe that's it. He was every yeah. reference he had. Yeah. He was trying to knock out. Although I do think he said there. I didn't notice it the first time. I think he said what a crab. That didn't sound like grab. That sounded like he said crab there. But otherwise, he's very intense.
So I was getting a lot of Cowboy tweets last night while this game was going on. Colorado survives North Dakota State. And I would like to know from you on Twitch and the Franklin Injury Attorney text line, YouTube as well, which player were you putting the Cowboys star on the most last night between Shadur and Travis Hunter? Is Travis Hunter going to play two-way in the National Football League? Is he going to play receiver, as Dane Brugler suggested? He had three touchdowns last night. I thought he, you know, maybe got away with a push-off or two, but not with the crazy one. Not with the crazy one in the corner of the end zone that he caught. So, which Cowboy dream were you having more of last night between Shadur and Travis? And you got to factor in the possibility of Travis maybe not playing corner. Even though if I'm him, I'm going to the league and saying, I'm football Shohei Ohtani, and don't draft me if you're not going to let me do it. Or Deion.
First of all, the push-off, as the great Drew Pearson would say, any push-off they don't call it.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Or Michael Irvin.
Or Michael Irvin would say the same thing. I would probably lean towards Travis if I was going to choose between the two.
How tall is he, Bobby?
6'2".
Oh, okay. I thought he was shorter.
No, he's 6'1", 6'2", something like that. He's a little thin, but I mean, guys, you can expect it. If you need him to put on 20 pounds when they get to the NFL level, they will.
I'm seeing him listed at 6'1". For what it's worth, we know, pick things apart.
Yeah, 6'1"'s fine. Still fine.
Looking at him in the do you have to be Tyreek? You got to be. That's Jamar, right? Jamar's kind of that size.
Yeah, I mean, CD was 6'1" when he got into the league. He's 6'2" now.
Okay,
he gained another inch, but I mean, Travis Hunter has the length to be able to body guys out.
My team Meatballs on the New York Giant text thread was like, Shador, we tank for Shador first half, and I was like, okay, he didn't do anything special in the first half. He hit Hunter with an easy pass. Hunter ran for the touchdown. Then he had a wide open TD to Horn in the middle of the field. But then in the second, end of the first half and second half, I saw impressive Shador Sanders plays and throws. Standing in against pressure, taking shots. We know he can run around. I'm not going to make a bold opinion on him yet as an NFL quarterback. Where do you stand, Ralph?
I don't have a hard take. I think in general, this is wild to me how much people are talking about Colorado. They're not a good. They're Vanderbilt with better marketing. They're going to be favored in three games this year, and one of them was against an FCS team. If they're that good, they'd be better.
Well, no one's talking about them because they're that good. They're that loud.
They're that loud. That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think Shador's a good player. I think he's a good quarterback. I think Hunter's clearly the superstar. Like, he's the true Heisman candidate. He's the true top first round, like legit first round player. He's the guy that I would want. I would shy away from. I want no part of the dad if I was an NFL team. I want no part of that.
Universally, yep. I think NFL teams right now would say
a more accomplished LeVar Ball.
Right.
With fewer toes. Travis Hunter is.
Does LeVar Ball missing toes?
Oh, Deion. No. That's Galloway used to call him nine toe.
And then that became true.
And then it actually did become true. But that's a health issue, Bobby.
Gosh, you get so sensitive.
I'm sorry.
You were just getting on me coming into break for laughing about something.
No, RJ's right.
All right. So universally, Travis Hunter is viewed as the better player, like by NFL teams. Like they now Shador is, I think, considered general consensus right now is he's a second round player and he can elevate to become more depending on how the season goes. There's a lot to like about him. Daniel Jeremiah had compared him most to Geno Smith when he was coming out, which Geno was a second round player. But I think Shador, there's a ton on his tape that's really exciting that will probably push him into the first round by the end of it. But
oh yeah, he'll get the first. Oh,
yeah, there, you've got a better shot at Shador than you do Travis Hunter if you're Dallas. And I had text last night in the middle of the game. It was like the first drive. One of the Tolos, Tyler Deary, texted me and he goes, "Boy, I'd take Shador over Dak next year, right now. Like, give him to me right now, better than Dak."
Will Hunter go in the top five?
Yes. Yep.
I got some college odds from Bet Online. Choppy's going to have a college degenerate and kegger at 9 o'clock.
Real quick, just on that question about Hunter. Not only will he go in the top five, Hunter right now, slam dunk, will be the first non-quarterback taken.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Top five most bet teams. Most bet. Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, Texas, Oregon. Top five most bet long shots. You got to be 50-1 or higher. Florida State, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Auburn, USC. Top five liabilities, which is a loss for the book. Utah, Miami, Boise State, Bama, Clemson. Odds win the national champion.
So is that odds win the title or is that odds to make the playoff that you just gave?
Title.
Okay.
Odds to win the championship just overall. Georgia is your favorite at 4-1. Ohio State 8-1. Oregon 12-1. The Longhorns at 10-1. Bama 6-1. Jumping on through to teams you guys may or may not care about. Michigan is 10-1. A&M is 28-1. Tennessee is 28-1. Ralph and Oklahoma for Carter is 40-1. I got the Big 12 championship odds for those of you left and that you care. Utah's the favorite at 14-5. Then K-State, Oklahoma State, Colorado is 20-1 behind Texas Tech to win the conference. SEC, Georgia plus 165. The Longhorns are 4-1. Then Bama 5-1. Then it drops to Ole Miss. Okay? Heisman winner, the favorite is.
It's Dylan Travis. Gabriel.
Yes, good job. Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, 6-1. Cam Ward, 7-1. Miami. Carson Beck, tied with Milroe at 9-1. And I do not have Travis Hunter on the top seven lists behind Jackson Dart and Quinn Ewers and your guy from Tennessee.
Nico, I am a believer.
Yes.
I am Ali Abba, but I say I am a believer.
All right, so we're talking about announcers.
I'm trying alliteration, Bobby, okay? Just trying here.
The Rangers sweep the White Sox. Corey Seager doing his thing. Nate Eovaldi with 10 strikeouts. They're going to face the Athletics, and then they're going to face the Yankees. Well, Bobby's favorite announcer is Michael Kay in New York, okay?
I think it's pinched.
Michael Kay's...
He is Italian.
Set this up, RJ. Is this Michael Kay's... Co-host?
Yeah, this is Don LaGreca, who is Kay's co-host, and this is audio that was sent to me, and it was a caller really kind of, I guess, was saying that he was riding Michael's coattails or whatever, and because it's the Michael Kay show with Don, and I think Peter is the other guy.
Is LaGreca the one that we have that drop that we play, your sister's ass?
No, that's Mraz.
Okay.
That's a different station. This is on the ESPN. So this is Don LaGreca, the guy. You don't hear the caller, but the guy, but Don really was like, he's had enough. He's had enough of the Michael Kay digs that people are throwing his way.
Stop with your Michael Kay. I'm on the air. I worked at the Fan before Michael Kay. I do Ranger games without Michael Kay. 16 years doing pre and post for the Jets. Guess what? No Michael Kay. I got a podcast that's in the top 50 in every country on the planet. No Michael Kay. I've got two kids. I've got a wife. 17 years I'll be married during September. Guess what? No Michael Kay. Hair that people would die to have. Michael Kay, nothing. I'm a fabulous driver. Michael Kay has got nothing to do with it. I'm one of the best friends you could ever have in your life. Zero to do with Michael Kay. Do not ever say to me, you wouldn't have the guts to say it to my face, Michael Kay's got nothing to do with what I am and who I am. I could work with Michael Kay. I could work without Michael Kay. You better bring it. You ask me questions, I answer them. I ask you questions, you say, Don, 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 Don. That's what Cuber was saying when I was tripping on mesk in 84.
I love this guy.
Fabulous driver.
I love this guy. Because I believe his rage.
I do too. I believe because he'll go on.
I believe his rage and anger.
There is a...
And he snaps a lot.
Yes, there's a TikTok channel devoted just to his rants that he has on callers or like on Mike Kay. And I'm a fabulous driver. It's got nothing to do with Michael Kay.
Why don't you appreciate my rage, my real rage, Sean?
I haven't heard you rage
off air. You've heard me yell all the time off air. You go calm down. You don't enjoy it the same way.
I haven't heard you yell, scream, and rage on the air.
Oh, okay.
And his is funny. Yours is petulant and childish and attention seeking. Speaking of mics, Michael Irvin says, start appreciating your quarterback. Stop the hate on number four. Are you going to love what the playmaker has to say? That's next. And below the belt right here on Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Maybe, just maybe, we should start listening to the expertise of former Super Bowl champion players like Charles Haley, Troy Aikman, and now Michael Irvin when they say, just pay Dak. Now, I don't endorse listening to the players on everything, specifically their top 100 lists, but when it fits my narrative, when it fits what I want, we're going to listen, especially when it's from some Super Bowl champions like Sean has for us from the one, the only Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin was on Fox 4, and he says, stop with your hate.
I hope people now back the hell up. That's what I said. You've seen what you needed to see. You've seen enough of what we have behind him. We've seen enough to know now, stop playing. Dak Prescott is our best chance to win a Super Bowl. I know all these shows out here, they love the father, they like to talk about it because we put eye gates on their TV, but the reality is, Cowboy fans, stop falling for that. Dak Prescott is our best chance to get a Super Bowl. Now, I hope that this team understands that also and make sure they get behind him.
Boy, sounds like a great take to me. Sounds like a guy who knows what he's talking about. You know what I find fascinating?
Okay.
I said fast. We can't just start adding words. Like, if you're not going to give me
interesting and fascinating.
Anything that's ting.
No, it was interesting and interesting, fun.
Interesting, fascinating.
Or funny. I got to have synonyms here if I can't use interesting.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Try to be honest.
Yes.
Do you want, is your Dak love and belief more about believing he is a Super Bowl quarterback or the fear of the unknown? Break that pie up.
It has nothing to do, honestly, with the Cowboys. Like, I just think objectively, it has to do with, you've seen this before. Whenever I think there's something that's so patently obvious that there's like a 50-50 split on or there's some sort of like disagreement on, it frustrates the hell out of me when I'm like, how is there half the people that see it a way that just does not look objectively correct to me?
Okay.
And so it's more about he falls into that. If Dak was a quarterback for whoever, the Bears, and this sort of argument existed, we wouldn't have it come up as frequently, but it is similar.
But why can't you just answer what I asked?
Because
is it more about your belief in him and his ability or the fear of the unknown?
That would just have to be about
replacing
Dak.
Him.
Just about Dak.
Okay, so you just believe he's that good?
Yes.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that. It's more about just like it gets under my skin when I see like there's so many people who believe something that I think is so completely wrong.
Okay, but the first thought that comes to mind with what people believe is he's not good enough to get it done in the playoffs. And right now you've agreed with that. So your venom or your disagreement with that thought shouldn't be there to that degree.
He's not this guy. So don't mistake what I'm about to say. But to me, I don't think you can say just because it didn't happen over the course of his career, you can't say Dan Marino was never good enough to win a Super Bowl. Or if Elway wouldn't have had at the very back end of his career the Terrell Davis show bailing him out. Like, you can't say like Elway wasn't good enough over the course of his career.
But it's really hard to make those comparisons of those two. Because it was so clear that they were all-time greats while they were playing, that doesn't apply here.
Okay, it's Romo different. Even. To say Romo wasn't good enough to win, even with all the criticism I have for Romo, that to me still sounds silly.
Okay, so you didn't believe that?
No, Romo was good enough to win. He was a good enough player to win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was good. I mean, look, yeah, if things had bounced, I still believe to this day, and I will never be convinced otherwise, if that snap in Seattle does not fumble, they go to the NFC Championship game that year. They would have beat Chicago the following week.
Probably.
And they probably would have run into New Orleans, and they got worked by them. I think it was 42-17. And they would have gotten worked again. But
There's two types of quarterbacks. It's, I'm going to put you, there's piggyback, and there's circumstantial, right? Your Eli Mannings, your Joe Flaccos, they have to have all the circumstances right.
Win with, win because of.
Yes. Then you got your guys where it's like, I'm the freaking man. I'm putting you on my back and I can carry it. Those are your two types of quarterbacks who are in the good or great or, you know, I don't like to say elite, that category. Tony Romo, Dak Prescott, I believe the circumstances have to be right. You just got to choose. You got to choose how long you want your football team to rely on the luck aspect of everyone lining up for you versus trying to find the guy who can put you on their back.
Look, there are two other quarterbacks that have...
And everyone needs help. But you understand what I'm saying with the separation of the greatness of the player.
There are two quarterbacks at the same stage of their career that were still looking to get to their first Super Bowl that were still quarterbacks of their original team that eventually did. And, you know, Matt Ryan did it and then Manning did it. They were 8 years in.
Yeah, Stafford had to go somewhere else.
Stafford had to go somewhere else. But those two guys...
Heard that, Wilchuk?
were 8-plus years in when they went to their first. And, like, Manning's a little bit different, but, like, he never... I mean, he only had gone to one conference championship game. Like, did he get better in the year that he finally went? Or... Because their team was worse. It's a very similar situation. The 05 team was much better. They were the one seed.
I agree. He is very much like Peyton Back is.
But... But this team is worse than they were last year. And, I don't know. Like, you know, did Matt Ryan and Peyton Manning get better the next year and went? Or did they just catch some breaks? And that's what you need.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of it is going to be those sort of breaks. That's also why I think Dak is at a point where he seems like, sure, somewhere else. But, like, if it's somewhere else, it's somewhere else. Because I think he's at a point where he believes, like, you know, let's see if it would click somewhere else. Maybe there is just something about here.
You know, it's very important, I think, to be honest with yourself. Very few people are. They have they're not capable of doing it, acknowledging your weaknesses. I wonder how much Dak is like, he sees and agrees with the notion of him not getting it done in the playoffs versus just thinking, I just finished second in MVP. Why is this even an argument in a discussion? This is stupid. Versus what he talks about a lot of, I understand how champions are recognized and what makes your legacy. I wonder how much honesty he would have in the self-reflection of, like, I get it if they want to see and wait a little bit more for another playoff run.
No, I think he sees...
probably nothing. Probably none of it.
No, I think
he sounded a little bit irritated and disgusted yesterday with it.
No, I think he sees the... I think if you got Dak in an honest moment away from everybody else, he would... say that looking at it's like these were times I fell short during my career. These are times I was not good enough during my career and it cost us. But I think he would also on the flip side of that say, but last year I showed, like, I continue to show where my progression is. And right now I am that guy. And I don't think you can judge who I am right now as a player and hold what happened in 18 or 19 or other years like that against what I am now.
And he may also be thinking, and I think justifiably so, you think this is a circus as is? Do you know how much I do behind the scenes? Let someone else come in and deal with this crap. Let someone else be a first take topic every single day. Let someone else lead the locker room and hold everyone together. You need to appreciate that value. You need to appreciate that aspect, which I think Mike McCarthy might, because Mike, I don't think, likes all the noises.
I think Mike, that would have been... Mike never...
I know Mike doesn't like it.
Mike never had the opportunity to... Mike was just retained. If Mike had been given the Jason Garrett treatment at the end of 2019, which was basically sit down across from me and give me your pitch of why you should come back. If Mike was given that, I think Mike takes the angle you just talked about. I think McCarthy tells Jerry, bring somebody else in here. See who puts up with this. See if Belichick puts up with this. Right. I think that's what he would have done. That's the angle he would have taken and tried to say, you think you want Belichick? Belichick thinks he wants this. Neither of you do. And you don't know it until you're here. What kind of supporting cast will Dak have around him this year? Since he's maybe a guy you went with instead of because of. So Shiel Kapadia, who is over at The Ringer and every year does a ranking at the start of the season of the here's exactly what he thinks by the end of the year will be offenses number 1 through 32 and defenses number 1 through 32. And it's a good research project. It's not always right, but I think it's good work that shows, you know, not just a here's a repeat of what we finished with last year. He's trying to project out a little bit and see some things falling into place. So his number one offense in football for this season, who do you think it is?
Number
one. You got
a
smirk.
Yeah, because it isn't a name I don't think a lot of people are throwing out there.
Atlanta.
No. NFC, though.
Yo, man, it was just a random.
Not a lot of people throwing out there.
It's not going to be Green Bay.
It is.
Oh,
the Green Bay Packers.
Bring me up, jackass.
Yeah, come on. There you go.
Well, you said it's not going to be Green Bay.
I know, but I still wanted the credit. Yeah.
All right, so the Green Bay Packers. He says, surprise. Okay, let me explain. Matt LaFleur has been the Packers head coach for 5 seasons. Here's where the offense has ranked in efficiency each of those 5 years. DVOA, Shop, your favorite.
Big fan.
2019, they were 8th. 2020, they were 1st. 21, they were 2nd. 22, they were 12th. 23, they were 6th. If you look at Jordan Love and say he's going to continue to get better, and what we saw at the end of last year is who he is, maybe not the worst take in the world to believe that you could, you know, do that. Now, where do you think the Cowboys fall down on this list overall? Best offenses in the NFL.
4th. Well, NFL.
Yep.
9th.
Worse.
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 11.
Worse.
13.
Better.
12.
12. They are 12th. He says, the Cowboys represent a battle between the analytical part of my brain and the general vibes of an underwhelming, nonsensical offseason.
Oh, history tells us, big mistake.
He says, history tells us that if quarterback Dak Prescott is healthy, the Cowboys will most likely have a top 10 offense. They finished 9th in efficiency last season, but there are some regression factors that are working against the Cowboys. They had the 5th best injury luck of any offense last year and the 8th best turnover luck when we look at EPA loss to giveaways. Now, what's fascinating is you don't have anybody who said, I'm going to alternate interested and fascinated. He says that you've broken it now, Don LaGreca. Good job. So
Sean LaGreca.
Sean LaGreca. See, damn it, I should have had that. You had it faster. I don't think it is broken. I don't think anybody, I don't think anybody's felt like the defense is going to be better than the offense. Like, I feel like there's more variables for the defense. Not according to Shiel Kapadia. Shiel Kapadia has them as the number 4 defense in the NFL and the number 1 in the NFC with Zimmer coming
in.
This
guy's a very odd analytics guy. He thinks defense is going to carry over year to year, and then he's letting anecdotal evidence creep into his offensive analysis.
No.
Analysis? Analysis.
No, basically.
Analysis. I just have an aneurysm? Is that what happened?
Basically, what this comes down to is he thinks that Zimmer returning to the NFL level, he's a big believer in Zim schematically and the way that he follows trends across the NFL. He says, when you look at what Zimmer did consistently in Minnesota, they were always one of the more efficient defenses in the NFL because they were able to, it was Zimmer staying ahead of the curve, pushing things. I think we all feel like, now that being in training camp, getting to be around the defense a little bit and hearing Mike Zimmer talk, that like this defense in Dallas, he's going to push things forward from what Dan Quinn did.
And we didn't bring up at all, and we should, that Mike Zimmer was a tremendous influence in bringing Dalvin Cook here. We should have asked him about that knock start on the beach, but Dalvin said that yesterday. He's like, I'm the same guy. I just haven't been healthy enough. And Mike Zimmer was a tremendous force in bringing me to the Cowboys. It is our first college football degenerate of the brand new season. And it kicks off the final hour of Sean and RJ next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.